Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. Today I wanted to speak to you, follows along the same lines as our first speaker, except I'm going to be talking about a survey we did with stakeholder organizations in New York State. As was mentioned, I'm with the New York State Department of Health, working with a CDC grant, looking at the human health impacts of climate change. And as part of this, we did several needs assessments with not only local health departments, but Department of Health leadership, as well as stakeholder organizations in several categories. My goal, actually a couple of goals or hopes today, are that this work's results can really give insights to those of you in the audience in terms of moving forward with your own climate adaptation interventions, or at the very least, perhaps our methodology can be applied in your jurisdictions as you're talking about how to prioritize adaptation interventions. I have no relationships to this close. I'm going to start off just briefly reviewing climate change-related health impacts, and I'm going to give you a bit of info about our survey development, our methodology, but I want to spend the bulk of the 20 minutes on our stakeholder survey and interview results. So for any of you that are in the room that may be new to working with climate change within the context of public health, I thought I'd quickly review the different impacts we see. If I asked those of you in the room to quickly think of a direct impact from climate change, it would probably, I would guess, be something to be related to heat or extreme weather. But the impacts don't stop there. I think it's important that we also think about our secondary and tertiary impacts. And you can see just some examples of those here. Diseases from new vectors that are stemming from environmental change would be one example of a secondary impact. And then even further down the line, we see our tertiary impacts, such as mental health consequences stemming from economic dislocation or impacts to our food supply from environmental decline. Here we see the 10 essential services of public health, which many of us in public health are probably well aware of. But the interesting thing about these is that there is a climate change example that parallels each of these. And these 10 essential services formed the core structure of our surveys with local health, with stakeholders, and with DOH leadership. This comes from an article in AJPH by Frumkin et al. I wanted to cite that here. The only one of the 10 that doesn't, I guess, as well fit into climate change would be the enforced laws and regulations that protect health and ensure safety. Frumkin notes there's little role for public health here. So we did have 9 categories that were utilized in our surveys. So just to talk a bit about methodology and response, our objectives here were to get feedback for how Department of Health should prioritize climate and health adaptation activities, and how we can use these findings with the other needs assessments I mentioned to plan for future climate change adaptation in our state. We did utilize, in the survey, 77 separate adaptation activities linked to the public health services. These came from our climate action plan for New York State, as well as the scientific literature. And we asked respondents to rank the top 3 of 9 adaptation categories, and then to rank the top 3 adaptations within each of those categories. Additionally, we had information that was gained on knowledge, attitudes, and access to information. We made contact via phone or email. We got PDF survey responses for the electronic portion of this, and we had slightly over 50% response rate. And then jumping to the interviews, which were done only with the stakeholders, not with local health departments, I just want to point out. Similar objectives here, but we utilized an interview script with a series of 10 open-ended questions, and this enabled us to get that qualitative piece of information that we could pair with the quantitative to really get the full picture of what was going on here. 36 organizations were contacted via phone or email, and we did conduct interviews with 14 organizations. And one thing to note here is that there were several government agencies outside of the health department that we did not interview because we already had knowledge of these questions from our relationships with them. So you see a 38.9% response rate here. The organizations were split into several primary categories. We wanted to make sure that we covered the gamut here, and this was done through a lot of brainstorming with our project coordinating team. We had representation from academia. We had business groups, community groups, health, policy, government, as I mentioned, and environmental represented. Just to touch on data quality, the surveys were returned via email, as I mentioned, as an XML file. We imported these and analyzed them using SAS and Excel. Qualitative was done in Excel. It was a small sample size for these interviews, and it was easy to do. We accepted one survey per invited organization, and we assigned points, as you see here. First highest received 3, second highest 2, third highest 1. So that was pretty straightforward. And then we calculated tertiles and categorized them as high, medium, or low priority. We asked each organization about their mission's connection to health, and the answers were as diverse as the groups you see here. As I mentioned, we had a lot of different category groups here. I wanted to just share with you a few quotes that came out of those interviews. The first quote is regarding physician awareness of the issue. Quote, our emphasis on public health preparedness and what has recently occurred with Irene and Katrina, I think physicians clearly recognize that when a natural disaster occurs, the health of their patients can be strongly impacted. And there have been a lot more of these events in New York. I'm aware of a couple of doctors who are allergists who have seen pollen levels are up, and they recognize it's because the earth is getting hotter. Another quote regarding organizational mission connection to health is, quote, it's fundamental to what we do here, the protection of life and property, to cut down on the cost of natural disasters, but first and foremost, to cut down on the human mortality that's associated with these disasters. And there's a quote on health as a policy driver that I think is great. Quote, people's health has such a personal impact for messaging to people, and it's what people care about protecting, so health is intrinsic to the whole mission statement. It's all about the health of natural places and the people who are part of nature, too. More and more, it's health that seems to be moving policy messages. So I think these are really good to take to heart as we move forward with our adaptations. Moving on to climate change-related health issues, when we inquired, and these were unaided in the interviews, when we inquired about issues that are currently faced, not anticipated, but currently faced and acknowledged by the organizations, you can see, maybe not surprisingly, that heat-related illness and mortality leads the pack here, but respiratory and lung, such as asthma, increased allergies, were also near the top of the list. Weather and storm-related, and you see food waterborne, food insecurity, and cold-related illness and mortality as well, making the list. We inquired about programs in place to address climate and health issues. Here you see public education and information sharing topped the list, followed by vulnerability assessments, planning, and mapping. A lot of these are just a natural fit for public health to be a part of. So we see a real opportunity here to partner with these organizations. And I also want to point out that many of these we did not have any sort of pre-existing relationship with prior to the survey. So it was not only an ability for us to gather this data, but a real networking opportunity for us to begin these partnerships. We see here the barriers in addressing the issues. So when you're going about addressing the issues, what are you coming up against? Not surprisingly, lack of funding or resources is clearly at the top here. The next five, I think, all carry a theme of either lack of understanding, which Jay, you know, talked about in his presentation a bit, just the overwhelming nature of where to start to address this in the context of limited resources. But this is something that is a bit different than what we saw with local health. Agreement that climate change should be an important focus of the Department of Health. We've got 90% of respondents that strongly agreed or agreed that this should be something important the state addresses. One respondent was neutral, one strongly disagreed. I won't comment too much on that, but we've got to focus on, we've got 90% on board here, and we're moving forward with that. These are those categories that I mentioned before. So you see all of them here, and you see that monitoring and surveillance was the top priority for stakeholders. other relative high priorities, we've got policy development and planning, education and awareness, and capacity building. So I want to just talk about the top three on this and break it down and look at the activities within those categories. For monitoring and surveillance, the top category was implementation and maintenance. And you can see each column, our DOH leadership, our local health departments, and our stakeholders all rank this as a high priority. So this gives us some sort of gauge in terms of where we should focus. Environmental monitoring and development for new surveillance were also up there. For policy development and planning, we had a lot of support for a healthy built concept. All surveyed groups agreed it should be a high priority to, quote, provide support for smart growth and agricultural initiatives that strengthen food security, availability, and safety. And then when we look at organizational planning, we asked, how many of you have already incorporated or are planning to incorporate climate and health into your organizational planning? So we've got just over two-thirds saying yes, a lot less saying not sure, but we think this is a real opportunity, again, to communicate to these folks and get them on board. It's interesting that one organization cited no capacity for incorporating climate change. So there are some organizations that do speak of, this intent to do this, but again, the lack of resources is a real barrier for them to even get it into their planning. And then the last group of activities I want to cover is the priority for education and awareness. You see health significance of climate change is at the top here. And awareness of the health costs of climate change and creating effective outreach materials to vulnerable populations about the potential health effects of climate change were also ranked relatively high. Okay, when we asked about access to climate and health information, we asked if they had sufficient information and also where they got this information as a follow-up question. You can see 41% either strongly agree or agree with this statement, but that leaves the remaining 59% as those who could use further information. So we're going to need to, in our planning, look at what information needs to be communicated and which channels to use for distributing that information. So we're looking at things like our public website content, which is underway, nearly done, webinars or other trainings to educate, and also taking advantage of the existing networks through these organizations. As far as where they get information from, it was interesting that the primary source of climate information, they said, was from the State Department of Health. So they're looking to us. We need to really pinpoint the gaps. They are looking to us for these answers. They agree we should be prioritizing this. This has got to be a priority. They're also looking to NOAA, to the internet in general, IPCC, their partners, and other state agencies as well. So knowing this, we know how to target our communication approach. This slide looks at the ongoing partnerships on the health impacts of climate change. The most popular are local agencies and university, school, and educational programs. But other partners here, such as state and federal agencies or national organizations such as APHA were also mentioned quite frequently. So there seems to be quite a base from which we can implement our adaptation activities, again, using the existing networking that the stakeholders have in place. You can see on this slide there were many creative ideas that came out of the interviews. A common theme was that we need to make climate change a public health issue. So I've got this as kind of this umbrella idea. We heard probably 50 different responses here for how we could do this, which was very promising. We did hear that there were some barriers to collaboration. One quote was, "We can't collaborate until we know what the impacts will be," which is interesting. And the second was, "We need funding before collaborating." So again, this points back to that need for the quantification of the health impacts, the costs of those health impacts. They're asking us for this information. Another quote that I wanted to share was, "Moving climate change from an environmental issue to a public health issue, I think, is absolutely key." talking about climate change as a health issue versus an environmental health issue would go a long way in this political climate. Engaging the medical community and having clinicians talk about this as a health issue is how you're going to best educate New Yorkers. I think that's really interesting because it touches on the politicization of the issue, and I think we can really take that to heart as we discuss exactly how to structure our messages. On this slide, I've juxtaposed the ideas that we heard from the interviews with the barriers that are existing. 10 of our 14 organizations interviewed were able to think of at least one of their ongoing adaptation activities that they could see public health being incorporated into. One indicated their local health department was handling, they defer to them, and three had no ideas at the time. One interviewee said it really well. This is yet to be determined because until we determine what the impacts of climate change are on public health, it's hard to plan for the future or make an investment. That, again, when I hear that, I think, okay, they're unclear on the impacts. We've got a lot of work to do. We're working towards that now. We've got to make this clear as well as better quantifying it for these groups. As far as the roadblocks on the right, 4 of 14, this was good news, answered there were no roadblocks, and I think that's fantastic. But the other 10 did mention a long list of barriers, which you see here, with lack of money and resources leading the way. Incentive and inertia were also mentioned. One interviewee answered, this issue of climate change is something different. It doesn't function within the core of most agencies. Unless someone dangles a carrot or uses a stick, institutional inertia will be a serious roadblock. Another interviewee talked about the need to link the data to costs, to years life lost, doing what has been done with data for other diseases in order to convince people to make this a public health priority. So if we streamline the barriers, that long list that we just saw, I think we can, when we collapse it for strategic planning, it might look something like this. First and foremost, we need adequate funding and staff to implement adaptations. I think there's a lot of ways that we can do that. The reality is we do have limited resources. We at the Department of Health have been leveraging others within the department, other grants where we see opportunities to collaborate, where we see the impacts affect those other programs as well, and trying to leverage on the work that is already being done and get climate inserted into everything we do in all policies. The second is the lack of health impact definition. We heard that loud and clear. What exactly are the impacts in New York State? What about in our climate divisions down to the county level? How can we better quantify this? And what do those impacts really mean in terms of healthcare costs and years life lost? We need to develop credibility, which I think will be aided by better defining the impacts. And we need to work at communicating to our healthcare professionals, decision makers, and the public. So where do we go from here? We've seen that our survey has shown us key support for primary components of our strategic plan. The Department of Health Climate and Health Strategic Map has recently been completed just a couple of months ago. Several components of that, including surveillance, outreach, education, collaboration, policy development, and guidance, I think have all been strongly heard throughout the survey results. And then on the right, you see the Department of Health Prevention Agenda. Our prevention agenda is intended to guide our local health departments as they prioritize areas for public health improvement. And this year, for the first time, climate change has been incorporated into the prevention agenda under the Promote a Healthy and Safe Environment priority. It's one of 5 priorities identified that local health departments will be working towards as they develop their plans. And there are quite a diverse set of interventions that are suggested to local health departments within this priority that explicitly address the impact of climate change on health, especially with air quality, water quality, and built environment. So we're now in the process of developing additional evidence-based tools and resources to support the implementation of these interventions at the local level, and we'll be working with our stakeholder partners in this manner. So I just wanted to thank those you see on the slide and also CDC for funding us on this grant. And I do want to add, if you have any questions, please feel free to email me. I also am quite willing to share our survey tools with you, the electronic survey as well as the interview script, in the hopes, again, that it can be utilized in other jurisdictions. Thank you.